Next, we have Dr. Michael Yonas and Rondea Moore, who are going to be presenting on asthma, neighborhood stress, and CBPR, engaging community and healthcare provider perceptions of contextual influences on childhood asthma.
Here. Good morning, everyone. How are you? It's great to be here, and it's my great pleasure to be here with Rondea Moore, community research partner for a new project that we're involved with. It's Rondea's first time at APHA and presenting together, so we're going to be speeding through the presentation, and please don't hesitate to come find us with questions afterwards. How should I go? Okay. We have no disclosures, no conflicts of interest to disclose. And learning objectives today are to share a little bit with you about disparities in childhood asthma and how we've come to work in this area together, to provide an overview of the project to date, which is an early phase CBPR project, and to describe what we've learned very briefly and some of the comparisons between providers, healthcare providers, and community, and to talk about some of the contextual influences on asthma that we're looking to build an intervention to address in the near future. So many of us know that there are persistent and chronic disparities in many chronic diseases for kids, and the disparities we see for non-Hispanic African-American youth are persistent and continue to grow, especially those compared to white and other racial and ethnic groups. And recently, the disparities we found in a recent MMWR report continue to grow as well. And alarmingly and frighteningly, the disparities for African-American youth have increased by persistent by almost 50% between 2001 and 2009. These disparities are often also associated with disparities by poverty rate, but recent studies have shown that controlling for poverty and controlling for race, there are still neighborhood contextual effects that seem to affect these disparities in asthma. Just wanted to share with you that in Pennsylvania, the disparities are persistent and consistent. And recently, and alarmingly, in Pittsburgh, and Rondea will talk more about this, there's been a 131% increase in emergency room visits for asthma for young children in Pittsburgh as well. That's six times the national average.
Rondea? Mm-hmm. So why do these disparities continue to grow? Little is known about mechanisms by which neighborhood and social context influence childhood asthma. There have been clinical and survey research that shows associations. However, very little is known at the community level. So therefore, this community-based participatory research method of data collection is appropriate. And we started our research in two communities, community sites, one in Braddock, PA, and Clareton, PA. And you see there the demographics of those areas. They're about 11 miles apart. They're part of the Mullen Valley of Pittsburgh. It's east of Pittsburgh, excuse me. What these two sites have in common is that there's a very high prevalence of asthma in each of those communities, and both were hit hard by the changes in the steel industry. But we still feel that there are resources that we can use within the community in which to learn and grow upon. And using this approach, this project is guided by input and feedback from community members as well as healthcare providers. And we've made an advisory board comprised of various community members such as teens, local program coordinators, members of law enforcement, and healthcare and faith-based community members. And I started on this board because two of my girls have asthma, then at the end of pretty much the start of the sessions, I had opportunity to join the advisory board, and so I did.
And so I wanted to share with you also that there's also very little data in the Mon Valley related to the prevalence of asthma, and so a lot of this project is about trying to characterize the burden of disease in this community and throughout the Mon Valley. In terms of background for me, I had been doing work for about 18 months, kind of speaking to Karen's point about how long this process takes, doing work related to using the arts, looking at neighborhood effects of violence on children and adolescent health. And I had an opportunity to apply for a career development award. And when I did, I turned to the community partners that I had been working with and designed together an opportunity to look at asthma. It was a high priority health issue for the community. And so I am completely new to this area as well and learning throughout. And my mentor team involves pediatric and adult pulmonologists, psychologists, and others, and really the community experts that we're really learning together throughout this process. It's been fun. And the participants that we have in the project to date, again, this is an early phase project, we first chose to work with community participants and experts. And these were parents, caregivers, camp coordinators that might have a drawer full of asthma inhalers at their camp, and to try to learn more about perceptions of contextual influences on asthma. Young people participated in the project as well, but only in the brainstorming phase. It was thought that adults were really driving the care and that children are getting related to asthma. And these were done last spring, finished last spring, and the board really helped us design the need to really look more at primary care providers' perceptions of neighborhood effects on asthma as well. That kept coming up in terms of our sessions. So we worked with 11 healthcare providers. We just finished these sessions about 7 weeks ago. And primary care providers were, the broad in definition, were nurses, pharmacists, two community pharmacists, really expanding what we think of as healthcare providers as well, and this focusing in the Mon Valley. And what we'll share with you very briefly because of time is just some of the comparisons that we've learned and some of our next steps.
Okay.
Thanks, Randy.
Mm-hmm. And in order to learn more about the potential influences on community context upon children with asthma, we decided to use a mixed data collection method approach called concept mapping. And this is a structured participatory data collection process using a pictorial view or the concept map to generate and see how they relate to one another. Okay, there are three distinct phases of the concept mapping process. The first one is brainstorming, second is sorting, rating, and mapping, and third is a discussion and interpretation, and Michael will go into more detail with this.
So participants were asked to respond to one focal question in the beginning, which is very broad: what neighborhood factors, good or bad, in any way influence a child's experiences with asthma? And so I got to tell you, when we started the project, I was a bit terrified. We might get 5 items, 3 items, 7 items, and what would we kind of do from there? We were really shocked to find between the two groups you see at the bottom in Clarendon and Braddock, we had over 70 items come up from each of the community groupings, and people were just like was described, really were willing, wanting to talk about this, talk about neighborhood effects. You can see there's a spectrum of environmental factors, healthcare, economic-related factors, and many related to violence in the community, which is particularly salient to a lot of the research and work that I've done in the past as well. The next phase of the project is that individuals are asked to sort and rate the items, and just to ask, and there were each one of those items is put on a little white card, and they were asked to put these into piles that made sense for them. The only rules were that they couldn't have one pile or 70 piles, and then just label that pile at the end. This was a particularly fun part of the project, I think.
So he said.
Yeah, and individuals were asked to also rate those on a scale of 1 to 5 on a sheet related to the influence of having an asthma attack and the care for an asthma attack. It wasn't so bad. That data is put into the software program, and it uses multidimensional scaling techniques to show the relationship of those items per cluster in relation to every other person in the group. And what that gives us is this something called a point map. And what's really, just for sake of time, I'm going to zip through a little bit, is it's not what doesn't matter where these are on the concept map itself, but it really depends. What we want to look at is the relationship of these items to each other. So we can really think and feel comfortable that everyone put in our items 36 and items 20 in different piles, but those that are clustered are piles that the entire group put together. So it's really a consensus-driven format and process as well. But then there's no sense in me taking this data and looking at it. We really worked as a group to interpret those items together. The software allows you to ask for 9 clusters, 7 clusters, 1 cluster, and you work with the group to identify clusters of items that make sense for them, thinking about both characterizing this disease burden, but then also intervention and opportunities as well. So just for an example, the community in Clareton helped us identify 6 clusters that made the most sense to them, those related to healthcare and awareness, stress, others, and you can see here the groupings that emerged from those, and we worked together to help interpret, and the height of those represents how they scaled them on a scale of 1 to 5. So there's a lot of research exposure and development methods exposure in process as well.
Mm-hmm. And at the final phase, which is the interpretation phase, we work with the participants to create a story either verbally or through pictures describing how these items within the clusters are related to each other. And because so much is known about the environmental exposure related to influences on asthma, we chose to focus primarily on the clusters related to stress and asthma awareness.
Yeah. It would have been impossible for me to keep people there for 4 hours to interpret all of them. So we tried to use our time efficiently with the experts that we had. This is an example of one of the pictures that emerged in interpreting some of the data that we had. where the community, Rondia's group, actually drew a picture of a very stressed out child exposed to things that are acute, exposed to chronic anxiety related factors also, and then some of the specifics quotes that related to how neighborhood exposures such as violence might relate to asthma outcomes as well, those related to community violence and domestic violence, and I'll let you read those in your mind as well. But we had really very little of this pathway process is characterized in the literature beyond associations, as Rondia pointed out earlier. And I'm just going to quickly share with you, recently we finished a series of sessions with primary care providers as well. This was their point map, just for you to see. And the healthcare providers worked to create clusters as well. We worked together. They did the concept mapping online and then came together to help interpret their clusters. And you can see that they came up with a 5-cluster solution, and this funky little cluster in the corner was the hospitals that they saw as really having a positive effect. The others were really risk exposures as well. And this was their interpretation session. And I don't know if you can imagine what it was like to sit with a group of 11 primary care providers and pharmacists and say, now I want you to draw your interpretation of this. But you can see the items in yellow, that these are the items that were in those clusters. And we asked them to help us understand how some of these neighborhood stress and violence exposures affected kids' asthma as well. What was incredible was that throughout the sessions, they kept saying, yes, we know from talking to our patients that these factors affect health, but they never related them specifically to asthma, and they'd never talked as a group with a community pharmacist, a physician, a nurse, and others, so we're really trying to develop that capacity within the group as well. They also said they never independently would have come to create those numbers of items. They were asked to sort and rate what the community brainstormed as items related to asthma. And by quick comparison, we want to share with you just this is for the care of asthma. There's lots of back and forth that we're doing within the board to interpret the data. But in terms of their perceptions of what neighborhood factors affect the care of asthma, they clearly said that barriers to treatment, awareness, and others, and this isn't a surprise, but documenting this and putting this on a screen and being able to characterize it has been very powerful, especially for the healthcare providers who said, oh, my community experts were sort of saying the same thing. And then if you look, though, but at the care of asthma, the community individuals said that that chronic exposure to violence and stressful factors was still affecting them at the time of caring for asthma as well, whereas for the healthcare providers, there was no significance at that level. So lots of opportunities to learn and grow together. So in terms of strengths, there are many strengths, I think, to this process. Obviously, the relationships that are being developed, one is of mutual accountability. It draws from the individual's lived experience. I'm not from Braddock. Rondia's from North Braddock. There's Braddock, Rankin, many communities here, so we need to bring that expertise into the fold to help design. Rondia will talk about that in a second. We're also learning to develop conceptual pathways related to asthma, which aren't currently documented, that we want to address the disparities that exist within the Mon Valley and then other similar communities, both locally and nationally. It's also fun, pretty much.
Okay, so in conclusion, we're looking to take this information from both the community and the healthcare providers to develop interventions to lessen the influence of asthma within children. So, Michael?
And so, in final, we're going to conduct a similar process in one other parallel community within Pittsburgh. We continue to disseminate the findings both locally at schools. We have a couple of teen advisory board members that are presenting at the school. And we're in the next step, because we're really in the formative phase of thinking about what our next grant development work will be together, is to not move towards intervention just yet, but to use a similar participatory intervention development process that was described by Karen and others, and to really try to learn to document the mechanisms by which these community factors affect asthma and develop that capacity more broadly. So we can't thank the Kellogg Foundation enough to be here to share this work, and that was just awesome. So
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.